Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I plan to be a whole lot shorter than yesterday. I got ridiculous. I did send a postcard today to George, just in case, you know, somebody might want to know. Obviously, George probably doesn't know about the large number of cards. There are a bunch of them right here on the wall. They're obviously online, including the return. You know, when they come back, I take a photo of them, so they're together. Krzylowska.org/promise, refused. I think it's where it's at. But today I wrote yet another card was returned yesterday. It is censorship and against the law. One day you might find out. Over 50 returned cards are pinned to my wall. Krzylowska.org/wall. Offer grace, love, Dad. You know, again, because the point is the images of my wall and the images of the cards are online. And the point is one day he may find out. And the evidence will be overwhelming. What is happening is indeed against the law. When my wife returns the cards, she's censoring the cards to my kids. Complete violation of the law, the form that she signed. So again, it's the rules for thee, but not for me attitude from the woman I love. I did do two hikes today. You know, and one of my issues that I have is that I find the difference between the processed bananas and the organic bananas, the taste difference notable. And so the place that I get them, I think it's basically the only place that I left that I can get them is Publix. So I went to the farmer's market today as normal, and I added 3 additional miles just to get bananas. And I mentioned that when I was at the farmer's market today, and it's kind of like, you know, you're a little bit odd. So I guess I'm a little bit odd. But then when I got back home, there was a voicemail, and I got my boots back again. You know, new heels yet again. They do a marvelous job to get the heel replaced. And again, at least 2,500 miles on those boots. It's good investment. But one of the things that concerned me is what I noted there, because I keep, you know, I have now for all of this year thus far have been keeping records of my walking, my, you know, just the aggressive walking, you know, krzylowska.org/walk, obviously. But I look back, you know, so I did 10 miles today. The last time I did over 10 miles, I did it in May, local walking. I did it in June when we went to Benton Falls at 13 miles. But that's, you know, between then and now, nothing, I haven't, because it used to be every Saturday I was doing a half marathon. And, you know, so I'm slightly concerned what's happened. Why am I not doing as much as I used to? And it really it is an issue that concerns me. My plan was Saturday, I turn 2/3 of a century. And, you know, so 66 years, 8 months. And on the same day, there's supposed to be it's both a half marathon and a 5K race here in town. And I said, okay, because again, I have the note that I got from Miss Lillian saying, you know, here's the race. And I was going to do it, but then the weather report as of Monday was expecting an inch of rain. And I figured, no, I can't do it in the rain because I think I described myself, I'm quick-footed, but not sure-footed. So I don't think I would be as stable as I should be in rainy. So I resolved the idea, okay, I'm not going to do it. And now it looks like 0 inches of rain is the prediction for Saturday. But, you know, but it's supposed to be cool. I don't know. But since there's supposed to be another race in like 4 weeks after that, I figured, okay, I'm going to push it off. But anyway, but my hope is to finally, because I've never done this before, I've never entered an athletic event like that. And I just find that odd for me to say I'm going to enter an athletic event. I'm like, you? Anyway, but one of the things I've been wondering about, and I'll try to keep this short today. From what I understand, as of Friday, Russia officially says the four regions that voted in Ukraine become part of Russia. So as far as Russia is concerned, that's part of Russia. This will be an issue. You know, from what I understand, like in Mariupol, where the Azov battalion had that steel mill that they hunkered down in for a couple of weeks or whatever, and the Russians just simply waited them out until they finally gave up and surrendered. But there was a whole lot of bombing done by the Ukrainians into the city, and very quickly afterwards, the Russians came in with their construction crews or contracted construction crews and started rebuilding. Because there are cities with mass transit and whatnot, they got it back running. And, you know, so strategically, I think that was well done. But one of the things it reminded me of, because I remember when I lived in Europe for a couple of years, and then, of course, the travels we did in the early 90s. I lived there in the 70s and then traveled there in the 90s. There's a lot of the bigger cities and the big apartment complexes. My wife and I and Erica Lee for several weeks were in an apartment in Kreuzlingen in Switzerland, a high rise, and it's that kind of lifestyle's just so different, but it's also so common in a lot of places. Here in the U.S., but the way we do it here in the U.S. is a little bit different, I think, than the way it's done in Europe. But I see so much of that. And of course, one of the problems is you can devastate a large group of people because you have one building to attack. And I find the dynamics of this very, very interesting. But so things are going to happen. But then, of course, we had the thing I mentioned about Nord Stream 1 and 2 that were sabotaged. And I think it's so important to be discerning, because I will suggest what I thought about today is, if you go back a little over 20 years, we had the 9/11 event in New York. And that was flashy, you know, because that, you know, a lot of people saw that happen. But it was a tool that was used for a lot of things, you know, notably, for example, the Patriot Act, which is still in effect today. You know, it's one of these one-year things, and it's renewed year after year after year. So it's still in effect 20 plus years later, which gives the government more power. And I think we'll see the same thing happen with this, but most of it will be focused in Europe. I do think there's going to be huge ramifications of this. And of course, you know, the first issue is who did it. And what it seems to be is a lot of the Western media saying, oh, Putin did it. But then, you know, as I mentioned, the cui bono, and I noticed there's a dialogue program that I just downloaded. I'll probably watch it maybe tonight or tomorrow or whatever. And what is their title? Cui bono? Who benefits? You know, because, you know, Russia doesn't. Germany is the big loser here. What I also just found out is not too many weeks ago, it may have been months ago, the UK sent a whole bunch of underwater drones to Ukraine. Drones or, you know, remotely controlled submarines that can go down like 100 meters and the explosions happened around 50, 60 meters or 70 meters, whatever it was. So, well within the ability. So Ukraine had the resources, but I don't think they would have done it on their own. They could have, you know, and of course, what do they have to gain? Well, there are other pipelines besides the one that went through the, there are two that go through Ukraine into Europe. You know, there's a bunch of these pipelines. So, I mean, I find this interesting. And of course, the thing that's been played many times is Joe Biden's statement in February that if the Russian tanks enter Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 is over, whatever, however he described it. Apparently, in January, Victoria Nuland said something similar. And, you know, she's the one who is known. She has well known for her F the EU in reference to Ukraine back during the time of the Maidan revolution and all those kind of things in 2014, because she seems to be very much the one who is spearheading the orchestration of the overthrow of the government and so forth back then, and bringing in the current government and specifically placing particular people in charge. You know, it wasn't a democracy, you know, I mean, the sense of actually people voting, you know, again, the techniques they use there, if they don't want you, you either politely leave or they're going to kill you. I mean, they simply kill their competition. You know, that's democracy to the fullest. Anyway, but I look at that and I wonder, because there's the our team. You know, one of the things I think about is I see so many lies from the West because I've done enough research to say this is a blatant lie. And when you look at what's happening from Russia, in there, I don't see hardly any lies in reference to what's happening. However, it's not that Russia's perfect. Not at all. You know, for example, one of the things I looked at during when the previous tragedy, you know, all the COVID fiasco, and that was going on, some of the techniques they used there to encourage vaccines and whatnot were less than ideal. But the techniques were different than in the West. And I found them really offensive. The lockdowns were different in the sense of you couldn't do a lot of commerce. You couldn't go to the normal stores. Again, the idea of you're living in cities, in the apartment buildings and whatnot, you're dependent far more on the larger stores and so forth. And when they shut down your access to larger stores because you haven't had the appropriate certification, it can be devastating. And that, I think, in a lot of cases, was a whole lot worse. And apparently, specifically in Moscow and not other places. From what I understand, the leadership in the city of Moscow is a little more authoritarian than in other places. But the one of the other things that I thought about is, there is the I've heard it said that, you know, there's a lot of big cities with very nice mass transit subways and so forth, and apparently one of the nicest is the one in Moscow, and you know, how much this is embellished, how much reality. I've seen some of, you know, images and short video clips of it. Seems like a nice place, but you know, I haven't been to that many. I think I've seen a little bit of New York tiny bit. You know, actually, the World Trade Center, you know, I went, you know, obviously many years ago, so I saw a bit of that. And then I've been to some of the mass transit in Atlanta, which is kind of, you know, just like to the airport and whatever. But not much. But it's quite a thing in Moscow. But one of the things they have now is they have places where it's facial recognition, and you can just, if you are in the system, you simply go to one of the, you know, the turn, you know, the typical turnstile kind of thing. So if you go to this particular one and you just walk through because it recognizes you. And I think that's going to be a problem. I think there's going to be a really big problem. And so is Moscow the place that you'd want to be? For me, I would say not a chance. You know, it's interesting because I was at Publix today, and the last two times I was at Publix, I noticed that there was a reasonable number of people in line for the cash registers, but they only had one checkout person. And of course, they had a whole bunch of people using the self-checkout. And I was wondering, because it happened again today, are they trying to push people to the self-checkout? Because from my understanding, in conversation with a gentleman, the Walmart here in town, well, at least the one north of town, no cash registers, no, manually operated cash registers. It's all the self-checkout. The cashiers are gone completely. And I don't want to live in a world like that. You know, one of the joys that I have, well, especially at the farmer's market, or occasionally at Publix, for example, when I say hi to Jean, you know, one of the tellers I know by name, or when I picked up my shoes, I talk with Keith. We had a delightful conversation. I don't think moving to the self-checkout is a good thing. It seems neat. It seems like, well, I can get out quicker and whatnot. But now the store becomes just for me to get my stuff. And why not just have it delivered? Why bother going to the store? I think it's going to be a problem because it changes us culturally. Anyway, I don't plan to do the race this Saturday. I was planning on it, but right now, I'm not going to do it. But I do think in the over 60 bracket, I think I'm going to do well. Because, you know, I've checked my times compared to others, and yeah, I'm going to do well. But one of the issues that I'm having is the reason I can look at things like the race, I'm in excellent health. I'm starting to feel some things, you know, again, the fact that today I did 10 miles. And the last time I did that was June 19th. So over 3 months. And it concerns me, why am I slowing down? Well, or not doing as much. I do 7 miles. I've done 7 miles. One, two, three, four, five, six, five times 7 miles and once 10 miles this month. So, you know, I do long distances, but not, again, I used to do the half marathon plus every week. So it concerns me about that. But there's the other side of the coin. Physically, I'm okay. I'm having a little trouble sleeping, but I'll probably sleep well tonight because of the doing 10 miles. I do notice that I sleep well when I have those. But the other aspect is, just like the postcard I sent to George today, emotionally it's getting to me. It's been over 10 years. I feel I have strength physically. I mean, to walk the way I do, I'm in good shape. But to hold up mentally, it's hard to live with a broken heart. It's really hard. The photo today that I used with the card of George is the photo that's on my refrigerator. You know, it has the aluminum front so the magnet doesn't stick, so it's on the side of the refrigerator. And I look at that, I look at George. I recognize the face. The photo's from 8 years ago. It's my son. You know, let's close with at least one verse from Scripture. And you know, one of my I don't think I've ever read it in the LSV, so it's pretty similar. Genesis 2:18, and Yahweh God says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I make him a helper as his counterpart." As his counterpart. That's interesting. One of the things I think is important is in that passage, and Yahweh God takes man, and Yahweh God lays it charge, and Yahweh God says, and Yahweh, or you know, other translation, and the Lord God and whatnot. That's what Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Same words. I mean, it is, you know. Anyway, I find this, again, a consistent document, but it is not good for the man to be alone. In the grace of God, he said, "I make him a helper as his counterpart." For me, that woman right there, one and only, there's no one else. There is no one else. If I don't get her back, I don't get anyone. I'm committed to her. And obviously she's not committed to me. But my commitment doesn't change because hers has failed. I still love her. I keep looking at photos of her. I had a photo up today. And, I look at that face and it's kind of like, oh, that's familiar. I've held her hand. I've touched that face. I've kissed those lips. I patted her behind. When I look at her, I melt. Nothing's changed. Except she's not with me. I love that lady. Dorothy Jane, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I really love and adore you. It's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for this man to be alone. And it's you or you, you and you alone. There is no one else. My lady, I love you and I want you back.